Hi there, thank you for joining with me again. We're on day four, and I'm going to be looking at a chosen people. And my text is Ephesians 1:4. We've already referenced it. It's where Paul says, He, that is God, chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. These are among the most powerful verses in the New Testament, and they need thinking through. Before a single human being walked on the earth, there was another choice that was made. There was the choice of a people who would reflect His glory. According to our scripture for the day, all of God's choices were made before the creation of the world. You see, God was making choices before we were even able to. There were prototypes. Adam and Eve were the first. Then came Abraham, who became the father of nations, including Israel, who eventually became the chosen nation. Their histories resemble roller coaster rides of faith and failure. Then came David, the king of Israel, from whose line the Messiah, Christ, would eventually come. And then the eternal Son did come, fulfilling the eternal purpose that was set in motion before time began. All of God's purposes were to be fulfilled in Him, and He was to become the theatre of all God's operations. Everything would happen in Him. Again, our text for the day, He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. A few verses later, He said, In Him, Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. A few verses later, In Him, Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God chose a people. They were to come from every tribe and nation that lived on the earth. The Apostle John had a glimpse of them in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, writing these words, After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Let me pause here with a little parenthesis. God sitting on the throne, we easily understand. But who is the Lamb? The Apostle John gives us the answer. Earlier in the book of Revelation, he recorded that between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. He also recorded a new song being sung in heaven. He wrote, and they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you, the Lamb, to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. This Lamb was none other than the Lord Jesus, and the theology of the Lamb can be traced all the way through the Bible. One of the deep principles of the Old Testament was that an innocent life will be made a sacrifice for the forgiveness of the guilty. And when we get to the New Testament, we see John the Baptist summing it all up by pointing to Jesus and saying to those around him, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Back to the choice of a people. The ones that God chose came and will come from all over the world, from every nature and culture. It's worth noting that they all stood before the Lamb dressed in white robes, and you couldn't see a national costume anywhere. The Apostle Paul used the phrase "one new man" to describe what God is still creating in the earth through Christ. The New English Bible translates this as a single new humanity. This is none other than the church, the body of Christ, the holy nation, the kingdom of God. And my thought for the day is this: before God named Adam, he chose you, named you, and saw your place in his purposes. And so we pray, "Dear Lord, yet again you fill me with thoughts too wonderful for me to grasp." Amen. Thank you for listening. We'll see you again. And in the next session, we're going to talk about a big theological word called incarnation. And so until then, you take care out there.